The greatest calamity ever to befall ancient Israel was the conquest of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and the deportation of all the citizens to captivity in Babylon. But that catastrophe was reversed after only 75 years. And today's first lesson describes the return of Israel from exile in Babylon to the holy city, Jerusalem. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. These words were written several hundred years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. But in St. Mark's Gospel, these same words of consolation announce the arrival in Israel of the Messiah and of his forerunner, the last prophet of the Old Covenant, the first prophet of the New Covenant, and the greatest man of woman born, the brilliant, compelling, and enigmatic John the Baptist. St. Mark tells us that the son of Zebedee, of Zechariah and Elizabeth, appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And such forgiveness is the only way to liberate the entire human race from our age-old Babylonian captivity, the cruelest captivity of all, slavery to our own sins. But from the beginning, John knew that his baptism was merely a preparation for a new and greater baptism to come, a baptism from his divine cousin, not merely of water, but also of the Holy Spirit, a baptism of fire. This fire, of course, is the divine love, which cleanses us of our sins and calls us into fellowship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the fire that burned on Sinai without consuming the bush. This is the fire that led the children of Israel in the desert and through the Red Sea. This is the fire that in holy baptism and confirmation dispels the darkness of sin and fills our minds with the light of understanding, so that we may know the truth of the Word of God. This is the fire by which we live the life of grace, through repentance of our sins and saving faith that Jesus Christ is Lord. But this fire is not only the love which transforms the children of Adam into the children of God by the grace of adoption. This is also the fire which will cleanse and transform the entire cosmos at the end of days and bring about a new creation which we cannot yet imagine. Hear the Apostle Peter. "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be dissolved by fire, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Then Peter continues, "Since everything is to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be, conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in flames and the elements melted by fire?" In other words, as science now understands, and as Holy Scripture has taught for thousands of years, our universe is not eternal. This unimaginably vast and ancient universe, with its hundreds of billions of galaxies and trillions of stars, had a beginning, and it will have an end. Whether that end is tomorrow or uncounted billions of years from now, the end is certain. But the inevitable destruction of this present cosmos is not the end of God's creation, It is rather the beginning of a new creation. Listen again to St. Peter. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some regard delay, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so Peter concludes that according to the Lord's promise, we await new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him, at peace. To be without spot or blemish is literally to be immaculate. And in 2 days, we will rejoice in Immaculate Mary, who, being full of grace, surrendered her entire life in the obedience of faith to the Word of God, and so lived without spot or blemish all her days. For the sake of her Son, Mary was preserved from the stain of sin by God's grace from the moment of her conception. And we are washed clean of the stains of our sins by Mary's Son in holy baptism. But even after baptism, we regularly fail in our struggle against the mystery of lawlessness, and so fall back into sin. And that is why going to confession is essential to a life of holiness and authentic discipleship. Every time we receive the sacrament of penance, the grace of our baptism is made new, and we are again washed clean by the precious blood of Jesus Christ to live in peace with God, with others, and with our own true selves. In these Advent days of waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, the Immaculate Mother of God shows us how to live in holiness and devotion, at peace with the living God and with each other. Mary said to the angel of the Lord, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." And that is the pattern of all Christian discipleship. Mary's obedience untied the knot of Eve's disobedience and prepared the way for the eternal word of God to become the incarnate word of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. My friends, our faith in the Lord Jesus and our obedience to his gospel, first announced by John the Baptist, are the means by which we fulfill the precept given to us on this second Sunday of Advent. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.